Good morning, and I feel like the grass is greener on the other side. We've been stuck at ODPHP in the policy development side, and hearing what's going on with everything we develop out in the field is exciting. Boy, I didn't know all that. It's really great. So, let me go. There we go. I got it. Okay. So this is, I guess, what I would call the world according to healthy people. In the best of all worlds, we're all working together and shooting for one common goal. And if you look on the left, this is probably what a lot of the world looks like. You've got people doing all sorts of great things, not talking to each other. For example, I'm learning a lot about what's happening with healthy people that I didn't know before. I knew this program existed, but I hadn't heard any of the results. So our goal with healthy people is to do exactly what's been demonstrated with these programs, is to provide a common framework, a common set of goals, so that we can all strive together in public health to reach those same goals and not compete with each other. So we aren't offended if folks use, you know, do their own programs, but it's nice to know that we're all working together for the same national endpoints. Thank you. By now, you all know what healthy people is. We're our national vision, we have objectives and we have targets, and that's one thing that makes healthy people unique. There are a lot of indicator sets in the world, but healthy people is one of the few that's brave enough to actually set targets. And by doing so, we're holding ourselves accountable for actually showing some improvement, which can be very difficult in public health. It takes a long time to move health, and those 10 years go really fast. Healthy People, in its 30 years, now it's actually more than 30 years of existence, has grown quite a bit. We haven't changed too much. We keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, we're smarter people now. We know there are more issues that we have to address. At the same time, we know we can't abandon our old issues, so we have to be all-encompassing. So in Healthy People 2020, the development process really has been stakeholder driven, and we really listened to the results of those two users surveys that Wilma talked about. We knew that we did have a stakeholder base, but we knew we had to do better to reach out to folks and give them more of the tools they needed to implement Healthy People. And that last slide showed how we've grown from something like 220 objectives with the first iteration of Healthy People to 467 with 2010, and now we're approaching 600 with Healthy People 2020. So when we started to think about developing Healthy People 2020, we thought this is going to be unmanageable. We just knew what was coming down the pike if we continued along the same road, that we would just get bigger. You know, federal funding is being cut back. Our staff at ODPHP in the last 10 years has dropped from about 35 to 24. So that's a big reduction right there. So we actually went to NORC and asked them to do an independent assessment, convene a panel of outside experts, which included names of folks I'm sure you all know. Michael McGinnis was on there, Chris Honig, Stephen Teutsch, just the usual names. All these really smart people got together to tell us how we could develop, approach the development of Healthy People 2020 in a way that would give us a product that was manageable and sustainable. So they got together, recommended that Healthy People did need to pare down if we wanted to continue to exist. We should actually do that by eliminating the focus on specific diseases and outcomes and really focus on upstream, on the determinants of health and risk factors. So that ended up in a recommendation for 15 topic areas with 10 objectives per topic area. And we thought this was great. We were really excited when we got that report. And we thought, having outside experts standing behind us when we went out to the public and said, isn't this exciting? This is our new approach. We thought no one would argue with us. But at APHA in 2007, we kind of launched this plan for the very first time. We went public with it. The room was packed, and we had lines of people wanting to talk to us and standing up and asking questions and saying, you can't do this because my area will be excluded. But we thought, well, we still had those experts behind us. And so NORC not only recommended that with their panel of experts, another one of the recommendations was that we really needed to continue that stakeholder-driven process, and we had to make it even more transparent and more public So they recommended that for the first time we establish a federal advisory committee that was totally public. We've had one in the past called the Secretary's Council on Healthy People. That fell within the Federal Advisory Committee Act, but only because it had the former Assistant Secretaries for Health on the panel, and technically they were no longer federal employees, so that kicked in the FACA rules, because everyone else on that advisory committee, they're all agency head. So it was really, you know, talking to the choir. We really weren't getting outside input. So NORC recommended that we have this advisory committee, but they not only recommended this an overarching advisory committee, they wanted us to have 15 advisory committees, one for each topic area. And any of you who have ever dealt with an advisory committee know there's a lot of red tape. The General Services Administration actually has a cap on the number of advisory committees that can exist at one time in the federal government, and they're really expensive because of all the rules, and the public process is time-consuming and expensive. So we did end up, though, with one advisory committee, fabulous advisory committee, led by Jonathan Fielding, who's the health officer for LA County, and our vice chair is Shariki Kolmanika, who's the Associate Dean for Disease Prevention and Health Promotion at the University of Pennsylvania Medical School. And then we have 11 other folks in addition to them who are absolutely wonderful. And they have led us for 3 years now, over 3 years. When we asked them to be on the committee, we said that they would meet maybe twice a year and we'd be done in 2 years. They've met about maybe 15 or so times. 18 times, and their first charter expired a year ago, and we asked them if they wanted to continue, but we expected them all to grumble and say no, and we did kind of a closed ballot. We didn't want to embarrass them to have to speak out in front of everyone, but every single member signed up again. So we renewed their charter, and they finished giving us input on the development of 2020, and now we'll engage them next on all the implementation strategies. But it's been a very exciting process. So they actually continued to comment on that reduced form for healthy people. In addition, we held two rounds of regional meetings across the country. The first round focused on what we called the framework, which is the vision, the mission, and overarching goals. The second round, we looked at the individual objectives in healthy people. And we also had online public comments for both the framework and the individual objectives. But the upshot of all this public input was that we abandoned the idea of going smaller. We had an advisory committee accompany us to every single one of those first six regional meetings on the framework. And they were over at the end of May of 2008, I think it was. And in June, the June meeting of the advisory committee, they actually voted and said that we can't be smaller. They said that healthy people could not arbitrarily cut itself down in size, because what we learned through that long public process was that there's a user for every single measure in healthy people. Every single measure is being used, it has value. We've built up 30 years of trend data, and having a federal program that has a national target drives that data collection. And if healthy people were to suddenly drop several hundred of those measures, there wouldn't be that drive to collect the data. And we all know that you can't really measure you don't know what you need to focus on if you don't have the data to tell you where we are. So that has been, it's a real eye-opener, because we were in ODPHP and at HHS, we said, we're going smaller. There's no way we're going to do the big thing again and get it even bigger. But we really listened to our stakeholders, and we discovered that, you know, it was an eye-opener for us, that we did serve a purpose being very large. This was the framework that came out of that first round of healthy people public comment. We developed our vision statement, which is a society in which all people live long, healthy lives. We developed four overarching goals. Those basically maintain the same from the two from Healthy People 2010 to improve and increase the quality of life and eliminate disparities. So with that second one, we added achieve health equity. So we kind of raised the bar a little bit for the eliminating disparities. We added the last two, the third one, which focuses on the social determinants health, both the physical and the social environments that influence health. And then we also added a goal to focus on improving health across the life stages. And then this graphic, which has been a lot of, the subject of a lot of discussion. This was the federal interagency work groups graphic. That's the internal stakeholder group that actually goes beyond HHS. We have representatives from HUD and EPA. So we really are reaching beyond our traditional health sectors. But this is what we came up with to demonstrate how the determinants all interplay, and it's a two-way stream there with, you know, health outcomes influencing determinants and vice versa. We, for the first time with 2020, Healthy People has a mission statement. Believe it or not, for 30 years there was no mission statement. So when we sat down to develop 2020, someone said, "What's your mission?" And we said, "Well, I don't know." I mean, we all had an idea. So it took about 6 months to develop this because we had to work within the federal government. All those different departments had an idea of what we should be doing and what our mission was. And then the advisory committee also had their ideas, and they actually are responsible for this final version here. Some of the new areas for Healthy People, since we weren't going smaller, the door was open to a new area, so we actually have these additional areas. We're up to 42 topic areas for Healthy People 2020, and we've abandoned the focus area term, which was basically the same thing as the topic area, because we felt that focus implied a focus or a priority to certain areas, so we decided we'd go a little bit more neutral with topic. So we didn't want to imply that one area was more important than another. But we've added specific areas, topic areas, on the life stages. We have blood disorders and blood safety, dementia. That was actually the product of the second round of public comment. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments from people saying, "What happened to Alzheimer's and dementia? Our population is growing old. And how can you be the nation's public health agenda and not address what's a growing concern in public health?" And we pushed back a little bit. We actually were called to the Hill. We were called all over the place to explain why we were not addressing Alzheimer's. And said, "Well, okay, we're open to it, but you have got to come with us. Someone has got to take the lead for this and show us that there are data. There's actually a prevention aspect of Alzheimer's." So, we don't know how to prevent Alzheimer's right now, but maybe we know some things that you can do to maybe delay the onset or understand it better. So the Administration on Aging and CDC and NIH took the lead on this, and we now have a handful of objectives in Healthy People 2020 that will address Alzheimer's. We have genomics, global health, the healthcare-associated infections. LGBT health is another aspect that's a result of the public comment process. That we had lots of comments and concern about addressing this important population group. So again, we said, okay, you know, you've got to do the work, show us that there's some data out there. And so a group has been established, led by the Office of Minority Health and the Health Resources and Services Administration at HHS. And of course, we have representatives from across HHS and outside the government, outside the HHS, working on this issue. Preparedness is important. That wasn't even addressed in Healthy People 2010, but as soon as we launched 2010, we had 9/11, we had the hurricanes, we had influenza, and so we decided again that's something that has to be addressed with Healthy People. Health-related quality of life and well-being. We have, as a topic area, we actually have measures. We have 5 measures for health-related quality of life and well-being right now, but they haven't been given targets, in part because there's not enough agreement within the community as to what the right measure of this is. There's so many strong opinions. We had to kind of stop fights within the FIW and kind of call it quits for a day because people felt like their measure was the right way to measure health-related quality of life. Someone else said no. So you had agency going after each other. So we decided what we would do is include these measures. We wouldn't have them as objectives. We can track the data. And we're hoping that as the decade moves, as this area develops and maybe something will float to the top and there will be agreement within the community that this, you know, one measure is better than another for measuring health-related quality of life and well-being, and we can assign a target to it. So it's a way of how we're addressing all the complexities of public health and important issues. We have sleep health. Again, that was the public comment period. We were being sticklers. I mean, this had come up, you know, years ago, but we said, you know, give us the data, show us that you have a valid way of measuring what's the right amount of sleep and who should get it. And after months of, you know, knockdown, drag-out discussions, I won't say fights, but discussions, we were finally able to settle on something everyone felt comfortable with. And then the social determinants of health is an area that we're still working on that overlays all of healthy people, but our goal is to soon actually have identified specific objectives for measuring the determinants of health. We know that we'll be able to tag objectives that we already have in Healthy People 2020 that influence health. But our goal is, we have a work group that's working on this, is to actually define some unique objectives for determinants of health. And again, this is an example of how the process can be cumbersome. We've been working on this for a couple of years, and you know, we thought we had some measures, but not everyone agreed, so we're working on it. Then another aspect of healthy people that's still under development are the leading health indicators. Healthy People 2010 had 10 areas that we called the leading health indicators. And Healthy People 2020, actually IOM met for the first time yesterday to start discussing that. They've convened a panel of experts, and they had a two-hour open session yesterday morning, which Dr. Koh, who's our Assistant Secretary for Health, was able to open from Colorado, and Penny Slade-Sawyer and I were also able to call in for just 15 minutes of that really important meeting. But IOM has been charged with helping HHS identify, we're asking for 12 areas that are important to health, and then support those 12 areas with specific objectives from Healthy People 2020. They will meet, they met yesterday for the first time, they're actually meeting today, but it's in closed session. They'll meet again in December and January, and then the report is due to us the end of February. And you know, if any of you are familiar with the IOM process, it really is hands-off, and we don't have a whole lot to say after that little open session yesterday. So IOM will give us the report on February 28th, and we'll have to take that within the federal government and review it and see if it fits our needs. And hopefully by the end of March or April, we'll be able to release the Healthy People 2020 leading health indicators. So something that's exciting for Healthy People 2020 is the way we're going to deliver it to people. And this really does approach the findings of the user's assessments that we've been criticized from both of the user studies for not doing enough to help our constituents after we launch Healthy People. We spend a tremendous amount of time and energy developing indicators and getting the indicators out to people, but we kind of stop at that. And in part, we've said, well, that's because we don't have the funding and we don't have the staff. How are we supposed to do anything? We have to rely on colleagues like the Office of Women's Health and other people to partner with us and do that implementation work. But thanks to the advent of the internet, we're really able to do a lot more and put some tools online for folks and push the objectives out to what we hope is a greater universe of people. And this is just a sneak preview of what the website looks like. This is draft. It's not going to look exactly like this. But you're not going to see the telephone books anymore. They're going to be gone. If you want to print them out, you could probably print out some telephone book-sized documents. But we're going to be online, and you'll be able to get to the topic areas and the objectives, and we'll actually have tools and ideas for implementing Healthy People. You can connect with a consortium. You can hopefully eventually, if we can get through all the hurdles of the Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs office at HHS and all the rules for social networking and online communication, we hope to have work sites, you know, or pages where people can post comments, share information, and really learn from each other. So what we, our long-term vision is that we really will have, be a one-stop shop for our Healthy People users. So you can go to healthypeople.gov, you'll get all your objectives, all your data, get all your resources that you could need, at least from our perspective, for implementing Healthy People. We will have a community planning tool where people can go to the website and plug in characteristics of their certain population, whether it's a geographic location or some sort of a social population, you know, whatever, however your constituents are organized, and plug in information about your group, have the website give you the objectives that are relevant to what you need to do, and then in turn link you to strategies for achieving those targets, link you to folks you could partner with, give you information about resources. And one key factor is that we will be, all of our data is going to be part of this community health data initiative that I don't know if many of you are aware of that, but this is something big at HHS. HHS has a tremendous amount of health data, and it's parsed out across all the agencies. So it's really confusing when you're, whether you're a public health professional, you're a reporter, you're anyone, you need some information on obesity, you don't know where to go, because it could be any one of a number of surveys, agencies, websites. So what HHS has decided to do is to put that information in one place. Now, this isn't the raw data, but they're measures or indicators like healthy people. And we're the largest part of this warehouse, but there are other measures as well from CMS, the community health status indicators, and others that will be posted on the website. So all of our data will be there. So one thing that will be nice is you'll be able to go to healthypeople.gov, and if you're familiar with our objectives now, you have to leave our website, you have to click on something that says data, then you have to say, you know, they tell you, oh, you can go to data 2010 to get data, and then they ask you, do you want to do that? And you usually say yes, and kind of a long process of getting to the data. You'll be able to go to healthypeople.gov and click on your objective, and then click on the data part of the objective, all the data will display. So you don't have to go hopping around a lot of different websites and agency sites to get what you need. So the objectives will launch in December, and the warehouse will be ready maybe a month or so after that. So at the launch, you'll be able to get your baselines and targets, and a few weeks after that, the full complement of population data will be available. We'll also be able to link to strategies. I said we're starting small with the launch of Healthy People in December, and we'll be linking to the relevant interventions that are found in the Guide to Clinical Preventive Services and also the Community Guide. And we'll link to healthfinder.gov, which is a site that ODPHP maintains that gives some strategies for individuals to improve their health in certain areas. But eventually, we'll build the site out more. We're grappling both within the advisory committee and within HHS as to what are the ground rules or the criteria for the type of interventions we can post. Because there are a lot of ideas that really make, they're good common sense. And you think, wow, this makes sense. You know, we should be doing this. But they haven't been evaluated. So there's a concern that we don't take people's energy and attention away from proven interventions to start trying things that haven't been tested, and only to find out in a few years that it's not really a good idea, and all that time and energy has been spent doing something that really doesn't have much of a payoff. So, you know, it's a great idea to give everyone a lot of ideas, but at the same time, we're trying to be careful about what we give you all. And in terms of addressing users' needs, one thing that did come up in the studies and just in our efforts to go around the country is that Healthy People does serve different needs for different people. You have folks who like, for example, the idea of streamlining Healthy People because that's all they need. But then you have other people who need that detail. You have folks who take Healthy People lock, stock, and barrel, you know, and say, this is our plan, this is what we're going to do. You have others who take bits and pieces of the information and integrate it into what they have to do. So it's used as a teaching tool, it's used for benchmarking. For example, Nordstrom's a few years ago came out with their employee newsletter. It was so cool. They had a big table that said, you know, where do you stand? And it had some of the Healthy People measures like physical activity and nutrition and overweight, diabetes, heart disease. And they had a column for the Nordstrom employees. And then they had a column for Healthy People 2010 in the national data. So that's, we didn't even know that was happening until someone who we worked with, husband works for Nordstrom, and she came home one day and saw this on the dining room table. Of course, he had no idea that she was working with Healthy People either. But so there are just different ways to use. I mean, that's a very simple way to use Healthy People. We're identifying implementation strategies. That's something we always kind of knew we had to do, but after two rounds of studies that tell you really do need to do that, we're going to do it. And as I said, the first way of getting to this information is through the website, and then eventually we'll have the leading health indicators. So the studies and our stakeholders have really been a part of our development process and our existence. And it gives us a lot of ammunition just to go to public meetings, have our public process, have Wilma's office conduct the studies, the user studies, because we can go to our bosses at HHS and say, we have to do this. This is what our users are saying we need to do, and it works. If you have those evaluations behind you, they say, okay. So we'll need to do another one. If we can find the money, the money tree. So what's coming up next? December 2nd is our launch. We're going to launch at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. And that'll be at 11 o'clock. And then we're having what we're calling our second launch. That December 2nd launch, we're calling it the launch of version 1.0 of Healthy People 2020, because it'll be our website, what we have, and we know we have a lot more work to do in terms of developing the tools for users, finishing identifying important objectives, especially for the social determinants of health. So in spring of 2012, we'll have a national conference that will allow us the chance to have all of our users come to us after a competitive abstract review process and tell us what they're doing to use Healthy People 2020. So again, it'll be an ongoing learning process. Our system for just operation is going to be a lot different from 2010. It'll be a dynamic process that will be flexible and allow for change. With 2010 and in past iterations of Healthy People, we've been very rigid. We've said, you know, here are your objectives at the beginning of the decade. Don't even come to us about changes or new issues until the midpoint. We're not going to do it. But we decided that doesn't work. We're not really useful. We become obsolete almost the minute we launch if we don't accommodate changes in public health. So we'll be developing an annual process for updating objectives. As soon as we can get this launch out of the way, we'll sit down and map out what that process will be. And some of the challenges will be, how do we limit what we're going to look at? Because we can't open up the whole gamut, because that's a five-year process. So come up with the criteria for what types of changes do we need to look for. We want to include a public comment period with that. It won't be the long period that we had for the initial development, but maybe a couple weeks to, you know, say, here's some changes, what do you think? So that's going to be exciting. We also have to have a cutoff point, because we have those long-term targets, so we can't be doing that every year of the decade, but at least we can front-load it. And we'll continue to develop our website based on feedback that we get from users and what additional tools do our users want. So that's it, and that's my contact information. And I have to thank you all for hanging with us for our 5 years of development. And we think we're going to launch December 2nd. I heard some information this morning that I'm going, I hope we're launching December 2nd. I just found out the objectives went out for another round of clearance within the department, and that's a months-long process. I'm going, that's why the emails have been going back and forth this morning, saying, what's going on? But so anyway, just thanks for your continued support, and we really look forward to working with you for the implementing and just kind of continually improving Healthy People 2020 throughout the decade. So thank you.
Are there any questions? I think we're sort of at the end of our time, but are there, yeah, do you want to?
Okay.
Even though you expanded the topic areas and objectives, you really, by the process and being web-based, you really allowed people to really specify exactly what they need.
Right.
And I'm going to suggest a term that is, of course, in the healthcare area now, very big, in a very different way of payment, and that's meaningful use.
Yeah.
And I've sort of interpreted that, I think, that's really what you're now doing, is trying to get people in and outside of health use this meaning for what their needs are, and I really applaud HHS.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So I don't know if that's
yeah.
One real quick question, the new topic area of sleep,
right.
Having gone to a couple of conferences in learning, a broader term that I hear using, especially in prevention, mm-hmm. is rest. Not solely sleep, which is a major part of it, but sometimes, you know, in our busy lives, taking short mind-body rest that could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's not really defined as sleep, but then you end up falling on, you know, fall off and
right.
sleep.
Yeah.
Is that incorporated at all conceptually into the objective? topic area in the
office? You know, offhand, I can't remember. I know we had a lot of discussion on what's the right amount of time for sleep, and that was one of the hang-ups, because there's no national guideline for what's the right amount. There are a lot of ranges, but the rest, it came up in a lot of our discussions about how do you measure it. We got down to the nitty-gritty of are you measuring hours of real sleep? Are you measuring cat naps? And so offhand, I don't think rest is in there. They could be. We looked at that one in August, so I don't know. I haven't looked at it since. Right. Yeah, they are, and you know, I'm really glad you asked that question. You should continue to ask that question. The first report the law, ACA, does say that the National Prevention Strategy should use healthy people. And the first report that HHS submitted to Congress, it was July 15th, I think it was, or July 1st, one of those, did say, the second paragraph cited and repeated all of the healthy people over 2020 overarching goals and said this is what we're going to build around. And within HHS, we've had a lot of discussions with the Office of the Surgeon General and CDC about how you make it healthy people a meaningful part of health reform or the National Prevention Strategy, because right now, if you look at the document, it's missing. I mean, you can talk and say it's part, but we still are working on really putting it in there visibly so it's not confusing to folks. And we're also, all the Healthy People 2020 objectives are being used to measure health reform across the board. ASPE, which is Wilma's office, is creating a series of dashboards to measure how we're doing, the federal government's doing it for all the different provisions of the ACA, not just prevention, but all of them. And their task was, and that's something that Penny Slade-Sawyer, my boss, and I, and Janet Collins at CDC worked on for multiple weekends, was going through all the 2020 objectives and assigning them to the different provisions of health reform. So in that respect, healthy people's already there. I mean, you haven't seen that, but that's just the internal kind of evaluation. But there is a real need to coordinate. So it's visible on the outside to the public that we are coordinated, so you don't get these conflicting messages on two national strategies. But I have to, in the defense of the National Prevention Strategy folks, their deadline is just amazing. It's taken us since 2005 to do what we're doing. And Congress asked for the same process for the National Prevention Strategy, stakeholder-driven, an advisory committee. You can't do that in a year. Their final report is due March 23rd. So we're within HHS, we're strategizing on how can it be phased in? I mean, how can you do this? So it's really meaningful, so it doesn't look like we've put out a strategy without much input. So, but that's an important question. I think everyone should be asking that to make sure that it's addressed. But, anything else? Yeah. Right, healthy hunting, yeah. Right. That question came up earlier, and we haven't, it's been a while, I guess at the mid-course review we worked with them a little bit, but actually we haven't heard from them lately until today.
Three years ago, before the end of the previous administration, we did do a kind of meeting where the ASPE went and talked with the Board of Health, with the healthy communities in Mexico and in Canada, and they had a joint meeting. There were some joint papers that were produced just to cross-collaborate with them, but not so much doing a comparison between healthy people, but of course healthy people were one of the things that we talked about and so forth. But that had to be maybe 2-3 years ago. Yeah.
I want to thank our presenters and thank you all for staying to the end. It was really
good job.